Folks, welcome back to Beer and Business. I am like tickled beyond, I can't say it. Lynn is back in the studio.
Woot, woot.
After she...
A couple weeks off,
yeah.
I heard dolphin chattering in the ocean. I saw a pink spoonbill. And guess what?
And you went to the Palace Saloon.
I went to the Palace Saloon in Fernandina Beach, Florida, the oldest continuously operating saloon in Florida. And guess what else I saw?
You saw Joe Biden.
My mother-in-law naked.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to get into that right now. So how's therapy going?
I know, right?
Somebody is a little too comfortable in their skin.
Yeah, well, I'm glad she feels comfortable with me, but that's wow, good. That was surprise.
And this was in the morning, so she hadn't even...
It was in the afternoon. Like, we had been at the beach, at the pool, getting ready to go to dinner.
So she had been listening to the podcast and was like, you know what? Listening to your show, I know that I can have this as an all-day sipper. So she had been...
To be fair, she drinks Miller Lite, and that's the extent of it. Yeah, I know. But, you know, she's 80. She can do that.
She could at 80, I know.
She's allowed to do whatever she wants.
Do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's good.
So while we let her gone, do whatever she wants. Yeah, I know. What did you do while I was gone?
I had my mom on the podcast.
I cannot wait to hear that episode. Guess what?
And she has better taste in beer and wine.
I certainly hope so, because you got pretty good taste in beer and wine. So it must have come as genetic.
You know what? It's because of what people give me, like the beer we're drinking, mm-hmm. that I'm drinking today, that Craig Davis. Thank you for going over to pick that up today.
Well, I was with my mom was with me.
Uh-huh.
And we were coming back from a doctor's appointment, and she just got a charge out of me running out back out of the store with... A two-pack of beer.
A two-pack.
But before I got out of the car, she said, can you get me a Diet Coke in there? And I said, Mom, they don't do carry out. I'm sorry. I can't get you a Diet Coke.
Just lied. Not a beer. Gone over to the restaurant side and got her a Diet Coke.
Nah. Mm-mm. So what did he give you?
Today, we're drinking Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. which is a Marzen. I had one last week like this, but this one is from Gate City.
Okay.
A little different. And I'm going to teach you something if you haven't learned this.
Okay.
Marzen should always be
bubbly
light
from the
caramel,
bottom,
mm-hmm. butterscotch color.
Yeah,
and it is, and just the flavor is.
Well, you know, Oktoberfest is happening right now in Munich.
Oh yeah,
and that was his rationale for giving us the sampler pack.
It's insane.
What
How
is
many
insane?
People show up.
I know Brent went.
In Germany.
The husband went, and oh my gosh, the video I was getting back from him while he was there was off the hook. I think I missed a really good time.
Well, I got to tell you what, this is a spot on Marzen. So if you are like, what does it taste like? What's an Oktoberfest? What's mm-hmm. a Marzen taste like? This is a textbook Marzen.
Is it?
So,
okay.
Yes.
Good to know.
And if you want to go find this beer.
Hop City Craft Beer and Wine.
Damn skipping. Mm-hmm. Five locations mm-hmm. around the Atlanta metro area, four around the Atlanta metro area, and one over in Birmingham, Alabama.
That's right.
Check them out.
Yeah, their staff are super helpful, and I would hazard a guess that they're all savants like Craig is. You go in, you say, I want a red wine, I want a certain kind of beer, they'll be able to steer you in the right direction. And they do not carry Bud Light.
Yes, they
or,
do carry some.
Do they carry Bud Light?
They
really?
Yeah, I mean, they try to accommodate
but
everybody.
It's kind of over, like off to the side.
You have to ask for it. They put it in the like moldy dark corner.
Yeah, okay.
Dust it off. Well, I mean, a few weeks ago when I was in there, I was looking for a Riesling. Mm-hmm. And I happened to talk to Sir Craig.
Yeah.
And he's like, he gave me a phenomenal Riesling. But he also said, I'm going to give you this other beer. This is fucking amazing.
Another beer or wine?
Oh, sorry. Another wine.
I'm like, oh, Riesling beer. No. Do tell.
Oh, I don't think those would go together. Mm-mm. But he gave me something. He's like, it has Riesling in it. But it's not, and I'm telling you, this is one of the best wines in this category that you'll have. No lie.
Really?
I texted him as soon as I drank it. I'm like,
he knows his stuff.
Thank you, sir, Craig.
He knows his stuff.
Phenomenal. Lynn, do you know what today is?
Today is the 20th of September. Oh, my God. It's our 200th episode. Oh my God. That's right. 200 episodes.
200 interviews.
Interviews.
So we've done more episodes, but this is our 200th interview.
We could teach a class on this now.
We could.
Between you, me, and the founder. Yeah.
Yeah. We could do that.
Oh my God.
You know what?
Congratulations. I should have bought a charcuterie board with me to celebrate.
A coochie board?
A coochie board, yeah.
So I want a coochie board.
How does it feel to want?
Every day.
Yeah, I know.
Feels
I know.
Like that. But because we were doing this and because our schedules were kind of screwed up last week.
They were, yeah.
We had a guest who had to reschedule and you couldn't be here. I'm like, I want this guest on. Mm-hmm. And I know she's waiting patiently in the background and listening. And she's like, no pressure. But I'm like, I want her as our 200th guest. Mm-hmm. So I need to have somebody else on. And that's why, not for nothing. It was like, hey, I'll hang out, talk to my mom, which was a fantastic interview.
Right,
I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. So it was great to have my mom as 199, like as the
appetizer to the 200.
So our main course, our 200th episode, is coming up in just a second. I want to make her wait again just for a little bit. Because I also told her that because she's going to be our 200th guest on the show, she better have a couple dad jokes. And I'm saying this.
That's a lot of pressure.
Well, there's a reason for it because I follow her on, you know, we follow each other. We follow each other on the socials a little bit. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm not as cool as she is, but
hey, Darren.
What?
She's from Canada. She's a lot cooler than you are.
Much more so.
And she can probably handle the cold weather better than you can. Just saying.
A lot. I grew up in Syracuse.
I know, but
come on.
You've gotten soft living here, as have I. Gotten very soft living down here south of Atlanta, where at Christmas it's sometimes 75 degrees.
Bring her down here and let her deal with this fucking heat and humidity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's turn the tables.
You know what my sister calls this?
What?
Heat and humidity. The devil's ass crack.
I like that.
Because it's that hot.
There's a really bad joke that I can tell after that, but I won't. But I told her today, I'm like, listen, I know you're practicing your comedy bits. She's like, this summer she had to fill up her time. So she started doing stand up learning to do stand up. Yeah. So I'm like, bring a couple dad jokes today if you got them.
Okay.
I'm going to screw up her last name. And I feel so bad. Trish, I'm not even going to say it, but we've got Trish. Mm-hmm. I can't say it.
Say it phonetically.
Phonetically. Phonetically would be so bad because it's Trish Rion.
Okay. Is that right?
It's Italian. So you pronounce the E if you're doing it like Rione? The real Italian way. And it's Rainoni. Pronounce the N too. Like Rainoni.
I was trying to make it more exotic. Okay, so instead of Rainone, it's just Rainone.
Were you trying to make it more French because she's in Canada?
French, yeah.
And here it is, it's Italian. Okay, all right.
So we have Trish on, and part of the reason we have Trish on, we had Kim on before from Pink Is In, and then Trish reached out and said, hey, if you want to have another guest on, I'd love to be on. And she plays Top Dog on Pink Is In, and I'm like, love to have Top Dog for the 200th episode. Uh-huh. But Trish, you got to give me something from the business side.
Right.
Of the world.
Right.
Because
but that's who we are. We
know actors
business.
Want all the attention and shit like that. But this is about business. Yeah. And she told me about her background in business. I'm like, you're on. And so you're here, our 200th guest for this show. Welcome.
Thank you. I forgot I was on a podcast. I thought I was listening to like a final product of a podcast while I was sitting here. And then I'm like, no, you're going to have to talk soon. And then I wanted to keep laughing because you're both so funny. And then, so I was doing like the silent laugh because I didn't want to mute myself, screw it up and be muted for like the whole time.
It's a thing. It can happen.
It can happen. Or you could talk in the background like some of our guests have
done. We had that too.
I'm so honored that you had your mom on so that I could be the 200th guest. You could have had your mom as the 200th.
Yeah, she asked me for your address. I don't know if she wants to hunt you down, but it's all good. So
your mom is the real top dog.
She can be at
times. I've met his mom.
She's a firecracker.
Yeah, she's a firecracker.
She's a blast. Aww. So that was good, but we're happy to have you on the show, honestly. And I mean, I will say this, whether it's out of courtesy or the fact that she's like, I still need my time in the spotlight. Trisha's continuing to communicate back and forth since we started booking her for this episode. After this, she's going to be like, lose my net. Nope. No, blocking my emails from now on.
Get away from them. I need to get away from them.
No, I have a habit of making friends with the podcast hosts of different podcasts. So, you know, I've made friends with another Lynn though. So
oh, really?
From the Powers Point podcast. So now there's space for two Lynns
in the world.
In my life. My middle name's also Lynn. So okay. We've got that in common.
All right. Well, and, right on.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep it in touch and you feel like you know someone after you tell them things that you might not even tell your closest friends sometimes.
This is true. We all wear different masks during the day and there you go.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
As yes, Billy Joel would say, right?
What?
Well, we all have a face that we like to hide away forever. You don't know that?
How much time do you have on your hands?
Stranger. The song is called The Stranger. He did a freaking album. The album is called The Stranger.
You know what? I'm not a Billy Joel fan. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, Trish. Lynn has to leave now.
I'm just not. I'm sorry. Oh, but I believe
so
you.
Good.
I believe you.
Mm-hmm. It's a great show.
All right. I'm going to go listen to it.
Anyway, let's talk about Trish instead of.
Yes, I know. Who cares about us? I do not care about you. Or so you.
You have, like, you're a very multifaceted individual and career wise. And when I asked you, you're like, about business, you said, yes, I've done this, that, and the other thing. And foremost, I guess right now, the two hats that you currently wear are, in Canada, do they use the word actor or do they still use actress? We've had this debate. Mm. You're all actors.
Yeah, you can
now.
Use either.
Which do you prefer?
Yeah, which do you prefer?
I always said actor, but when I first started, I signed up for IMDb and it said, are you an actor, an actress, or someone viewing or whatever. And I clicked, or maybe I was adding my first credit or something and I clicked actor because I thought, oh, that's more neutral. I'll just go with actor. But then it listed me as a male. So then I had to, so then I changed it and went by actress on there. But yeah, I'm good with either. Well,
in your character on Pink Is In, since you're like the top dog, do you consider yourself more of a male versus female? No, anyway, we're going to skip that. We're going to go over that. So you're an actor and you also have a nonprofit.
Yes, Sioux Film Festival. So I started that.
Let's talk about that.
Started that with Rebecca Heron in 2020. We were living in Toronto. It's pronounced either way. depending on if you're a local, they say Toronto. And if you're not from there, Toronto. So Rebecca and I met because she was one of the producers on season 2 of a comedy series I co-created and acted in called My Roommates and Escort.
That's funny, by the way.
Yeah, did you find it on YouTube or Seeka TV Facebook?
I found it on YouTube. I should say the snippets that I've watched on YouTube and elsewhere. That is a funny show. That is really good. Aww. Somebody needs to pick that up and run them with that shit, like big time. Apple.
Yeah, we went through a lot Apple with that show. Yes, please do. Okay. Yeah, we did have a phase where we were picked. So we did it as a web series, season 1, Katie and I, co-creators. And then we had a network deal with one of the major networks for 6 months. And then at the end of the 6 months, we developed it into half hour episodes. We kind of outlined it and would go down to the head office of that network and just kind of discuss where we were at with the show. And then after, so it was called an option. Mm-hmm. And then after the 6 month option, they decided to release it, because they could either send it into, I guess, further development or release it. And at that time, they said, we're no longer looking for comedies, so we're going to release it.
They're wrong. They're bad people.
The world needs laughter.
It does need laughter. So we did a season two. We raised some funds through the government of Canada. There are some great grants available. And we actually, one of the grants we received was one to shoot in my hometown, because it's Northern Ontario, and they have this great grant called the NOHFC, the Northern Ontario Heritage Fund. Because everything was shooting in Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, there's this fund that the government set up. If you come and shoot in the northern cities and provide jobs for locals in those cities where there aren't filming opportunities, or they fund other businesses as well, construction and so on. But in our case, we got the grant to film here, and Rebecca Heron came on board as one of our producers, and then Rebecca came up to the Sioux with us. We filmed season two, and then Rebecca really liked the Sioux. She liked filming up here. She had filmed in Vancouver, up in Nunavut, in Montreal, in Toronto,
Nunavut.
In the States.
Say that again. Yeah. Nunavut.
I'm going to have to get out my map.
Yeah, get out the map. It's very cold there. Apparently, it's dark all the time and negative 40.
Wow.
So she was, yeah, she's
done some really interesting shoots there. It's colder
than a witch's boobie. Yep.
And yeah, so she's filmed all over, but she really liked Sault Ste. Marie, my hometown. It borders Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. So I spend a lot of time in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan as well.
Damn Michiganders. So yeah, Lynn is from Ohio. Let's ask her, Lynn, what do you think about people from Michigan being from
Ohio? See. It depends. It depends upon a lot of things, you know, what football team they like. First of all, right. College football team. But my in-laws are all from Michigan. And so, I got a warm place in my heart. I lived
there
when I was
from Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh, that explains a shit ton of what just happened on that beach trip.
Okay. And as a little baby girl in kindergarten, I lived in Central Michigan in the middle of nowhere. So Michigan's all right. It's pretty state. Yeah.
It's beautiful from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys, you met Rebecca, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we moved up here when the pandemic hit, because Toronto was just, I moved first because this is home, and Toronto was very, it just felt like a weird apocalyptic world.
Did you guys draw straws for this? Or was it like, oh, you go first. Yeah. I dare you to eat that first. I triple dog dare you. All right, I'm moving. And then she's like, tell me how it is.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And then she joined a month later, and we started the Sioux Film Festival. And now we're going into our fourth year this November. And I don't know what else. And then we also produced a handful of movies together as well.
Damn. So the Sioux Film Festival is your nonprofit?
Yes. So we hold workshops, networking events year round, mm-hmm. and 48-hour film challenges. And we have someone who works there throughout the year. And then we hold the event for 3 days at a local. In the past couple of years, it's been at our Bush Plain Museum that has a theater within it, and it's right next to Northern Superior Brewing, which is one of the nicest bars and breweries we have here in the Sioux.
Yum.
And this year we might switch up the locations a bit, but we have lots of good educational seminars and workshops and that sort of thing to help build the film community in Sault Ste. Marie. And a lot of the people that have come out to the festival have either been cast in the movies we had made over the last couple of years or worked as crew on the films.
That's
so it was a great way to find talent and hire them and pay them and provide them with jobs.
Well, we have an acquaintance. Do you know Russell?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So Russell is, besides being a book writer and whatever else
he's
he does.
He's multidimensional.
Well, I did a voiceover for one of his shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have an IMDb credit.
Dang.
Woo.
Ooh, can I touch you? Can I be your friend?
Doesn't mean I'm on the lots like I used to when I worked for Columbia Pictures, but I have a credit now.
Get him to sign your arm and then go get it tattooed.
I'm actually getting my tattoo.
Hang on now. The tattoos, I can't even think of one thing I want on my body permanently.
I know.
Less Darren's signature. Not so sure about that.
Why not? How about a teardrop?
A teardrop under my eye so it looks like I'm
part of a gang. No, not under your eye. That's a gang thing.
Yeah.
No.
Then you can hang out with Top Dog.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. We got it. Yeah. All right.
Top Dog will accept you if you've got a teardrop tattoo.
Oh, interesting. I don't know if I want to be in Top Dog's club.
Yeah, you do. Because you get kudos. Actually, everybody runs over this stuff. I don't know why you need to be in Top Dog's club. When you watch the podcast, when you watch the show, you're like, I know there's a tier, there's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
But the staff is so...
You could be rolled over.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, okay. There's one guard where they put, meat on his face. Oh, they put cold cuts on his face.
Oh, yeah. I love that scene. I could not stop laughing.
And he carries a teddy bear all over.
I haven't been able to sleep for the last week, which is very unlike me. And I'm desperate for things to watch. So I think I'll watch it.
Well, it's for free on Tubi now in the US.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Tubi, you can stream for free. Mm-hmm. I tried it out. I got the app. It gets you to you could create an original login for the account, but you can just click sign in with Facebook or sign in with Gmail. So I do that. Awesome. It just fills it in for me. Done, signed in, and you can stream stuff for free. So Pink is on Tubi in the USA. So I'm super excited to be on this podcast and spread the word.
I'm on it.
It's also, and if you don't want to get Tubi and you have to watch the commercial at the beginning, and I think there's one halfway there.
They're so bad.
You strip out all the commercials and episode's 18 minutes, 18 and 24 seconds long.
Right, yeah.
If you don't want to have to endure the commercial in the beginning, you can buy the series on Amazon in the US for $2 or something.
Okay.
So help these starving actors out and buy it instead.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
What I'm curious about is you're talking about starting this film festival. And to me, that seems like a daunting task.
Oh my gosh.
Yet it's successful. Where did you even start? You had an idea, obviously.
She was at Cannes because she was up for Actress of the Year.
Okay, right. Yes,
and
that's exactly right.
I should bring this home to the locals and support the community.
Sault Ste. Marie. But what? Obviously, you had to start, networking with the city alderman or, political system.
The alderman.
And whatever they call them in Canada.
You're a wordsmith.
I don't know.
It probably is.
Yeah, counselors.
Counselors.
I just learned this too because my mom calls them aldermen and my sister was like, can you believe mom met a counselor and called him an alderman to his face? And I'm like, okay, I'll take notes. So it's called a counselor.
Okay.
Got it.
Now, they take their titles very seriously there. But that's a lot of legwork to get something like that up and running, much less in year one, but you said you're in year four. So kind of walk us through what you did to get something like this started. We have some entrepreneurs here locally that have come up with some really great community events. Night Market.
Russell's doing a film festival.
Blows my mind, the energy that's behind some of this stuff. So what was your approach?
Cocaine and weed and beer.
God.
And Cheetos.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. We're in Canada. And poutine.
Yes. There we go. That's it right there. That's the recipe for success. Getting into City Hall and meeting everyone who works there. And, it's been actually, Sault Ste. Marie has been really welcoming, and we've done meetings and they've been supportive and they've walked us through the grants and that they have available. And there is a film liaison, Josh Rogers, and he's been just fantastic. And he works right at City Hall and he connects filmmakers to, the grants and anything they might be interested in that would help them do these sorts of projects in the Sioux. And so for the Sioux Film Festival, we actually, the first year, we were sitting at my mom's house because we had both just moved back here, and we're sitting at her kitchen table And we're like, okay, we need to get a Sioux film festival going. And there is one on the American side called Sioux Film Festival, but they spell it with the two O's and we spell it the full Sioux, S-A-U-L-T, which is the full spelling. It's a French word.
Right.
S-A-U-L-T comes out as Sioux in French. So that one's great as well. I was just there this past weekend. So shout out to the other, the Sioux, Michigan Sioux Film Festival. But we decided, okay, everything was locked down. We should do a Sioux Film Festival. Restaurants allow 20 people. So we were at the point in 2020 where everything had been locked down. All restaurants were closed, but the government said restaurants can have 20 guests. So we went to the local brewery, Northern Superior Brewery. And at the time, they've since rebuilt into this, they've built this big rooftop bar and everything. But at the time, it was a smaller brewery, but they had a screen. So we said that I think they would screen some sports on. So we thought we could go there. We could allow 20 people to come per screening, and we can screen the local films on that screen up on the wall, and they can enjoy local beer. So that's what we did. And then the second year we got funding and we made it bigger and hired people to fly in and hold workshops. Wow. And just moved locations into the Bush Plain Museum and really kind of expanded from there. And then we were able to pay people to come and work at it. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
Kind of really grew. But the first year it was very small.
Sure.
I got an idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to pitch this now.
Okay, pitch it.
Pitch it, bitches.
He's winding up. Here he goes.
Here it comes. We should take our podcast there. We could do like little collabs and talk to people about whatever. Or whoever Trish decides that we should talk to. She could be like,
oh my God,
interview these people.
That would
podcast,
be interesting.
And we could sit there.
That would be so
and
cool.
We could be at the brewery.
Could we
you
do
could
this in August,
doing
Trish?
It.
Because it's so hot here in August and July, please.
Well, it's whenever her festival is.
Yeah, when is
That's
your
festival? That's such a good...
When is your festival?
The festival's in November.
Okay.
Perfect.
But we hold networking events throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we should definitely talk about something. That would be fun.
Her decide. She can apply to Canada for a grant to pay for all of our expenses because of the exposure that we're going to give.
You are going to have Tyler Perry on your show. So
oh, that's right. Yeah, he's on our bucket list. Yes, yes, he's on our bucket list. Darren,
you're a huge deal.
Is your passport up to date?
Yep. Always.
Are you sure?
Are you kidding me?
In case I
have to flee the country. Yeah, my passport is always up to date.
All right, because mine
mean,
is.
Worst case scenario, come up to the other Sioux Film Festival.
Oh, right. And we can infiltrate from there.
There we go. And all this crossover.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
Let's do
a
it.
Whole new dynamic point of view.
Yeah.
And then we can go to Mackinac Island and get the fudge over Mackinac Island.
Oh, yeah.
It's so pretty there.
Yeah.
It's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Road trip.
Yeah.
Massive
road trip.
Perfect time. I'll fly in a bush plane to get over there and let's do it.
Hey, you wouldn't have to.
Skip and a jump land.
You wouldn't have to.
Yeah, but it's so much fun saying Sault Ste. Marie.
I know.
I could say that how many times? Today we're in Sault Ste. Marie.
You know, for the history of my life, I've been on the Great Lakes for most of my life. I cannot even believe I've never been to Sault Ste. Marie, but whatever.
Shame on
we
you.
Digress. So
you have been to Mackinac, which is very close. It's about 45 minutes.
Mackinac. Right, right. Like, I heard it was close.
It is really beautiful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you have turned this into, you have people that work for the film festival for you throughout the year. You're on year four. What kind of roadblocks or barriers did you have to overcome to get it to this point?
I think one of the roadblocks would be like so now there's three of us, Carrie DePoli, Rebecca Heron, and I, who now run it. Carrie joined us, I believe, year two.
Okay.
I think just the roadblock would be because we all do a lot. Mm-hmm. So Carrie and I also are now producing theater.
Wow.
Rebecca's still producing currently television series. She's producing film after film. So I think the biggest challenge would be keeping up with being able to do, like, say, doing networking events when we're on set or when we have other jobs or when we're doing other theater rehearsals. And just, yeah, because it's no one, it's not our main job. So I think the biggest thing is just keeping up with it throughout the year, because a year goes by really fast.
Yeah,
and all
does.
Of a sudden it's like, even like our monthly meeting, all of a sudden I get an alert in my phone and I'm like, oh, that's, didn't we just have one? No.
30 days have gone by.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's just keeping up with, especially for when we were filming and also doing it, because I haven't been filming as much lately. But when you're filming, you do like minimum 12-hour days.
Sure.
So trying to fit everything in. I also want to go to more film festivals because I used to go to a lot of film festivals. But yeah, it's just finding that time to really fit everything you want to do in.
Sure, sure. And now, I've never been to a film festival. Do you tend to find yourself meeting the same people when you go to the various film festivals, like really building up that network so it's really tight? Are you meeting different people and you're saying, whoa, this is a different vibe at this film festival, I'm not so sure I'm going to come back? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, they definitely do range and all have different vibes. Like, some of them are very, very small, and then some of them are so luxurious and elaborate. Like, actually, one of the coolest film festivals I went to was in Milledgeville, Georgia.
I know where Milledgeville is.
Best chili dogs at the pool.
Really?
But there's a pool hall. There used to be a pool hall in Milledgeville, and they had the best chili dogs there.
Shut it. So, okay, you said it was the coolest film festival you've been to. Why? Because that's like in the middle of nowhere.
That's Podunk, USA.
Yeah,
right,
that's
there.
In the middle of nowhere.
It's beautiful. There's just all these buildings with columns. Like, they're just like these beautiful structures.
Yeah, pretty town.
And yeah, it's really pretty. And they just treated us so well. So I had, at the time, this was maybe 9 years ago. So I had done a couple of years of acting for film and TV behind me. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to write my own thing and produce something and get filming. So I wrote a short horror film based on a dream I had in this like haunted basement apartment I had been living in.
Dun, dun, dun.
And dun, dun, dun. And my roommate, there were two of us living in the basement. She was also an actress. So we turned that into like this dream as inspiration into, we turned it into a story. And then we wrote ourselves roles in it. And then we reached out to a director who had a camera and we're like, great. Would you want to direct this? Okay, perfect. Hired. And then I went out and bought a bunch of candles because we couldn't afford lights and it was all self-funded. So I just bought a bunch of candles and I'm like, whatever, candles can light it. It's a horror movie. And we all kind of made this like little 8 to 10, maybe it was, yeah, about 10 minutes, a little 10 minute short film together. And we snuck into this massive graveyard and filmed some of it there. There was actually a hidden graveyard behind our house, but it was on the other side of the street. And it was a hidden graveyard within Toronto with 30,000 graves at it. And I was wondering why the place was haunted. And then one day I was walking, I just happened to look down this alley and I saw a graveyard with all these beautiful, like, stone angels and huge crosses, and it just looked gorgeous. So I went and I walked through the graveyard, like hopped the fence, walked through it, and it came out to our street, but the houses on the other side of the street backed onto it. So we had no idea it was there, and there were condos built all around it and houses. So it was really contained between these houses and condos. And we made this haunted story about that. So I submitted it to the Milledgeville Film Festival because I heard it was a really good one. It got in, they screened it outside in this really cool old historical place, and they put up a pop-up screen in the yard. And I really got to meet some great people there and just had a great time. They picked us up at the airport. They drove us around everywhere. We had drivers. People were giving me sweet tea. They were paying for lunch. Like, we were treated like stars. And I'm like, I just made a 10-minute horror short in my basement. I'm getting treated like a star.
Did you get some pecans and some peaches too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the whole Southern experience. Yeah. It was awesome.
Good.
From Milledgeville, they thought you were highfalutin because it's like, oh, we got we have foreigners who want to be able to
travel. They use a passport.
So, let me ask you a question there. Two questions for you. How is your southern accent? Like, if I'm casting you, here you go, Trish. Give me a southern accent.
Well, I'm actually playing a southern belle coming up in February in a live performance at the Quattro Hotel.
Okay, That's pretty damn good.
Number two, when you were doing this film, did you like send your main squeeze, Ryan Reynolds, an offer to be in this film? This is an inside joke there.
I would like Ryan Reynolds. Oh my God. Hi, Ryan. Yeah, I know you're listening. So I would like
Hello, Ryan.
to reach out to all of us, Lynn, Darren, and myself, Trish, and just come on this podcast and reach out to me because I have a script or two for you. It's a really good idea. So reach out. You can find me on Instagram or Threads. We're waiting for you, Ryan.
And the reason I asked that, folks are like, I don't get it right now. But if you follow Trish's socials, she has a thing about Ryan Reynolds, like her future husband.
Not bad.
It's okay. Okay. It's all right.
All right.
He's going
to
listen.
But that is so random. I have to be honest. I heard of Milledgeville. I had a look. I'm sitting here looking at it on Google Maps.
You don't even know where it is. It's like
it's outside Macon. I know. It's outside Macon, which is like less than an hour and a half from us.
Wow.
It's in the middle of literally nowhere.
You have to go, Darren.
Yeah. I think it might be a good day trip. Yeah.
It's a day trip.
You have to go.
What's the four of us? You, me, Brent, and Linda. Take
that's
a day
so
trip.
Close. You have to go.
Well, we could do that. We could take a roadie with us.
We could take a roadie.
And I'm going to talk about
sponsor.
A roadie. Now, here's what you don't do, folks. Okay. And this is our station identification break. And here's where we're going to thank our sponsor, Hop City Craft Beer and Wine. So I opened up another beer.
Yeah.
It's called Gourd Vibrations.
I'm not even going there right now.
That's a good pun.
So this is a chocolate pumpkin porter.
Oh,
I think
good.
My sister-in-law had that while she was here.
It's from Gate City.
Yeah, I think she had it.
I will tell you something.
Craig does not disappoint. That was his recommendation.
Freaking doesn't disappoint. This is a chocolate pumpkin porter. And you're probably like me. It's like, it's a pumpkin beer. I don't like pumpkin beers.
You don't like pumpkin anything, I'm willing to bet.
Oh, I do love pumpkin.
Pumpkin pie. From Dunkin' Donuts?
I love pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin air freshener?
Nope.
Pumpkin chocolate?
Nope.
Pumpkin hot dogs.
You want me to finish this so we can get back to our guests?
Go on. I'm just pulling a chain.
I do like pumpkin candles. What? Pumpkin spice candles. They're good for one day of the year.
Exactly.
That's why I like them.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, this thing, look at that label. It's like psychedelic too.
It's pretty badass. It looks like the Vortex up in Atlanta.
Oh, that's good.
I need to go
back
there.
Place to get burgers.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's only a hint of chocolate. Huh? There's less of a hint of pumpkin.
It's in the background.
So it's an actual porter. And it's on the lighter side of a porter. And this thing this is the shiznit. I got to tell you what.
I'm looking at your glass and it looks like coffee.
I know. It's so dark.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's very dark. I can't see through that. It's
freaking, oh my gosh. I'm going to tell you what. Yeah. If you're looking for a porter, this is a fire pit sipper.
We got a new rating. A fire pit sipper. We've gotten beyond the kayak, the pool.
Yeah.
I got to be in my house before I sip this because I'll pass out.
Some of us are waiting. We're all jacked up. We just got our new cord of wood for the fall and winter time. Okay. We had our first fire the other night, by the way, because it got like...
all the way down to 60?
Shit, are you kidding me? This morning I woke up, it was 56 degrees.
We slept with our windows open last night. The three of us. When I say three of us, I'm not in a menage a trois. The dog, myself, and my husband never woke up during the night from that fresh air. Finally, after four months of this nonsense.
Death.
Yeah, of death. Of
moist
death. All right, we've totally went to the left. back to the nonprofit. So you're getting grants from the Canadian government, correct? To do the to do the film festival and whatever else. Yeah, and or nonprofit.
It's mostly funded by grants.
Right. That's what really got you started.
And then it goes back into running it, holding for free workshops, renting out space for the free workshops, mm-hmm. and paying anyone who volunteers at the festival, giving them a payment so okay. they're not volunteering.
Right.
Workshop guests, goes towards just education and creating those workshops so that people can get some training. We do end up working with a lot of the people from the festival. So that's been really cool.
Good, good. How, on average, when you hold the festival in November, what kind of attendance do you have? Because I've never been to one. The film festival. I have no clue. I'm like,
attendance
this is from
for what? The total just, film
yeah,
festival? Or just
yeah,
like per
the total,
each showing of the movies?
Right, the total.
Because I went
festival.
To Sundance
yeah.
one year and did. We did 17 Ooh, movies in 3 days.
Me. 17 wow. movies in 3 days. Were your yeah. eyes bugging out of your head?
Well, we made 14 of those and
oh,
there
okay.
were
yeah.
two or three of them that I slept through and there was okay. one that we tried to. So most of the time, I'm going to tell you this, Trish, because you've been to film festivals.
Mm-hmm.
We always tried to sit on the
and so you can get
aisle,
up and
right?
go to the bathroom
oh,
or do
so
whatever.
You can get up and pee the, or yeah. leave.
One time.
Yeah,
the
smart.
One time that we couldn't do mm-hmm. it, we were freaking smack dab in the middle of the aisle.
And you wanted to chew your arm off.
It was
to get
the
out.
Worst, most uncomfortable movie.
Ew.
And everybody
Ew.
Felt the same way. Like the atmosphere was like, it played and like 20 minutes into it, everybody's like,
get me out of here.
Fuck, I want to leave.
Oh no.
And I'm
that
in the
bad.
Middle.
That's bad.
And the, my friend that I'm with is looking at me. He's like, I don't want to get up, but I want to get up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll do it.
Feign a stomach bug.
I knew
Excuse
as,
me.
I got up, I walked out. And it was like a mass.
Oh, really?
Exodus.
You were the sacrificial lamb?
I was the lamb. Like, people, and everybody else, like, all of a sudden we're out in the lobby and we went straight across the street to the bar uh-huh. at the Egyptian.
Uh-huh.
The Egyptian has a great bar and
Did
a
you have to buy
there.
A membership?
No.
No, okay, good.
No, but I think I bought the first round.
Okay. Well,
no,
that was,
everybody,
that was
actually, everybody bought my rounds because they were happy that I was the first one to get it to
thank
leave.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was horrible. But
and
yes.
that's really elite to get into Sundance. That's
well, you
really
know, I got,
like
I got,
where you think the best of the best films go.
Right, but you got to start somewhere and it might be at your,
Saint
your Saint film.
Marie?
Yeah, your
Saint
film Sue festival.
Marie.
Do you
yeah,
get a lot of
true.
Locals that attend or is it more people coming in from out of town? How does it work?
Well, we do have the guideline in the rules that, and people submit on Film Freeway, it's called. So on filmfreeway.com, if you set up an account for your film, that's kind of where you apply for most of the festivals. So we get most, well, we have the rules set out that the filmmaker or the film has to have Northern Ontario content. And that's from like this town, from this city to this city is considered Northern Ontario. Sure. And, but then we get people coming from all of those cities. So Thunder Bay, Parry Sound,
okay.
North Bay, Sudbury, Sault Ste. Marie,
right.
Everywhere in between. And then we get workshop guests who are from elsewhere, like
sure.
Toronto or wherever.
I got news
yeah.
for you. You
yeah.
need to hold on to your britches because once everybody knows that the Beer and Business Podcast is going to be there, you this
We're
I mean
have to
I mean there's going to be tens of additional people that will be flocking in there
tens of additional
and they will you know it's going to pump so much commerce into the
and you and I
that,
will be the two doofuses that don't have appropriate winter gear on
I know what to wear
You'll too but penis. I don't have it anymore
otherwise I'm going to get like arrested by a Mountie.
That's right. That's right.
So you, I know we've talked about this a lot, but I want to go back a little bit if you don't mind, because
sure.
You've had your hand in other businesses as well as being an actor. And what are, let's talk about some of that stuff, because you're coinciding. First of all, when did you get the bug to act?
When I was running a cafe, a coffee shop.
You owned a cafe or coffee shop, right? So you're the owner of a cafe, coffee shop, and you have a light bulb moment that I think I want to act.
Yeah, because I had always wanted to act and perform, but I was really nervous in this. Like, now I'm involved in theater. I am playing, I'm acting in Steel Magnolias.
Which character?
The accent, Shelby. And that'll be
February,
although they didn't really announce casting. So maybe I shouldn't even say top secret, you know, Sault Ste. Marie Theater. Don't want to spread rumors before they announce it. But now I have a spoiler.
Hold on. I have a question. Is Shelby, was that Julia Roberts?
Julia Roberts. Perfect. Yeah, the movie.
Perfect. I know which character you are. That's a great role to play.
It's a really fun role. So I've been reading the script a lot, but we haven't started. We'll start. We did a couple table or one table read, and then our rehearsals start closer.
I feel so bad if
later
you guys,
this fall.
Are you going to do the gray red velvet armadillo cake?
I really hope so.
That
I
would
feel
be
like
so much
how
fun.
Could you not? That's so much fun. I love that. So I was really nervous about getting involved in theater because we have a really, there are like five theater companies here and they're really good, really strong actors. And I thought everyone's friends with everyone. I'm way too afraid. So I just kind of like, I think I went to one audition for theater in high school and did really like for community theater and failed and didn't get in. So then I just did drama class in high school and liked it, but I was like, I can't do theater. And then when I was away in Toronto, I moved to Toronto about 12 years ago to pursue acting. And I thought I can do theater now because no one knows me here. I can go to auditions. I can make a fool out of myself. I can go to every networking event because no one knows me. So that's where I really got into it. And then, So the coffee shop was like the catalyst to go to Toronto. Mm-hmm. So basically I was involved in this family business. My family's in construction and my dad, he's kind of been branched out and been involved in more businesses.
See how she peddles
but this
around
one in
that?
Particular.
So Lynn and I were talking earlier and I know we talk about New York City and I'm like, oh, Trisha's family is in construction. And I kind of rub the side of my nose if we know what that means down here. So it's like
trash collection along the same lines.
Oh, yeah. Trash collection. That's actually trash collection is higher up on that level. Bring out your dead, little Monty Python. Bring out your dead. We can bury them for you. No one will know where they are. For just a small fee. But anyway, go ahead. I digress.
So somehow at this point in my life and at this point in my dad's life, he purchases a building because he buys buildings and that's part of
the thing is that
he owns some things. And so he buys this building and at the time, maybe there was a girl behind the motivation. Anyways.
Hold on. You can't push that off.
She said that he's been married four times.
I know, four times.
Yeah.
So there's a girl behind the motivation.
I said that off the air. Sorry, Dad. Releasing your secrets. So basically at this point in his life, he had like bought up this coffee shop, the building, this is what you're now going, like, if you're interested, this is what, like, you could run this place. We could be co-owners. You could be the manager and you can like, you could take this on. And I know you've been looking for a change in your life. I think this would be a good, and I always told him, I always had like, Dad, I want to like start a hot dog business or like, I want to start this. Like I was always kind of looking for something around that time that I wanted to start up. And I think I really got him on board with these hot dog carts that I was going to start up. And then he said, well, what about this coffee shop? And I was living in Ottawa and that's where I wanted to do the hot dog carts.
They don't have a good hockey team. You need to move. Their hockey team sucks.
Yeah. Not like the Leafs.
Not the Leafs. Go Leafs.
Yeah. So then I moved from Ottawa. I came back here and my real motivation or one of my big motivators was when I was in Ottawa, I saw that this NOHFC fund came up in Sault Ste. Marie and the surrounding areas, and that there were some like $1 million movies, which seemed like a lot at the time, or up to like, I think the highest budget film that's been shot here is about maybe 10 million. So at the time they started up these films here. And I thought, if I go back to the Sioux, I can own this coffee shop, can run the coffee shop, start a new business, and maybe I'll meet some of the filmmakers that come through and serve them coffee. And I love coffee. It's always been a passion of mine. Love cafes. I'm like, what a great thing to do with my life.
That's a great strategy, really. What you just outlined. That's fantastic. That's
awesome. Well, yeah. She was trying to figure out how owning this, you know, running the coffee shop, mm-hmm. all this stuff with the nonprofit.
And I know. It's community. It's like,
this is a perfect way to launder money.
Should you stop?
With her dad owning a quote unquote construction business.
I think you're jealous. You don't have a sponsor like her dad.
So I moved back from Ottawa. And while I was running the coffee shop, directors did come through. And I met some directors, and one of them actually came in, and he's still a really good friend to this day and still comes to town once in a while, and we'll go out for dinner or whatnot. So,
Bill Scorsese, Corcoran. Lucas, Bill Corcoran. Spielberg, which one? You don't want to drop a name?
His name's Bill Corcoran. And last year he directed a Hallmark movie and reached out to me and had me in mind as one of the leads. But then the producer wanted someone else, so it went to that person. And that's okay. But we're still friends and he still looks out for me. And,
wait, if
and
you
he'll
want,
once in a while say, I think I have a role you could be considered for, or we're considering you for this. But he walks in and he says, we're looking for a place to film. We have this movie in town starring Margot Robbie, but that's Barbie. So it's Margot Kidder.
Ooh,
and
that's good.
Who used to be.
I like Margot Kidder. She was Superman. Margot Kidder. She played Lois Lane in Superman.
So he comes in to the coffee shop and they're looking for this coffee shop to film in. So I'm like, I am meeting film people. This is working out. So my dad said, because of course he was the landlord, I was a business owner, but I didn't own the building. And, he said, you can film here, but you put my daughter in a movie. No, he didn't talk like that. He doesn't talk like that. But he did say, my daughter's really interested in film. Maybe she could come out to set one day. So I was there on set, obviously, the day they filmed at the coffee shop. But then he also, Bill hired me to come out as a soldier in the movie. It was like an army movie. So I ended up being a soldier for a week on set. And at the same time, the Trailer Park Boys came to town, and they're a famous comedy. Yeah. Famous comedy group. So with a famous series. So they came into town as well. So then I went to an audition for that. But then I invited one of the baristas, this really like hot barista. I said, you come to this audition I have. And she booked the speaking part. And that's when I learned you don't tell you don't invite friends to auditions with you.
They'll steal your parts. And,
they'll steal your parts. But they said, we'd like you to come out as a sunshine girl. And a sunshine girl in Canada is like one of those girls that poses in our newspaper. Like there's the Toronto Sun and there's always like a sunshine girl featured. So they're kind of like, I don't know, it's not quite like Playboy, but they're always in like, they're always like these girls who are posing and whatever. So they said,
sunshine girls. They're not Playboy Playmates.
Right. They do this in the UK with one of the newspapers
on this podcast.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But they do something similar in the UK with the newspapers. Yeah. There's a girl in the middle. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a girl every day in the paper.
All right.
Yeah. And they have like their kind of cute photo shoot or sexy photo shoot in the paper. So, so I was asked to come out to the Trailer Park Boys movie as a sunshine girl. So got to be in the scene with the Trailer Park Boys, and it was just magical being on set. I was in awe. I was like, wow. And it was right across the street from the coffee shop. We were filming in this hotel bar the Water Tower Inn Hotel right across from the coffee shop. And I thought, like, this is where I want to be. This is exciting. I like coffee, but I just want to drink coffee. I don't want to, like, manage the funds that are coming in. I don't want to try to make a living off of selling coffee and make a profit off of that. I'm like, I just want to. So I wrote in a wish box. I wrote, somehow the coffee shop closes. Somehow I live in Toronto. And I was so afraid of Toronto because I was a small city girl and had lived in Ottawa and cried driving on the highway and on the highway in Ottawa. So I thought, how could I handle Toronto? But I thought, okay, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to be an actress in Toronto. I'm going to be a producer in Toronto. I'm going to be a writer in Toronto. I live in Toronto.
You know
I'm
an actor.
The coffee shop shut down.
I wanted to say it.
Fuck, yeah.
She did.
Well,
she
manifested. I'm not saying damn I it. Manifested it, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, yeah. Like a week later, my dad came to me and he said, so there's this other opportunity that we're going to turn this into this business and I'm going to keep the building, but the business is going to, we're going to shut down the coffee shop. We're going to make this a breakfast place.
Ah.
And he's like, and this guy's coming in and he's going to work here. You could manage it together. You could still be a part owner. And I was like,
I girl, to get in, you like, manifested that. You totally brought that in.
Listen, Terry, I have a dream of being an actress. And I know this is exactly what a successful businessman such as yourself would hope to hear your daughter say. I am moving away to be an actress. And he was like, there's no money in film and TV. And I was like, I just spent like a year working 12-hour shifts in a coffee shop and didn't make a great living. So like, why wouldn't I go and put that time into something where who knows if I'll make a good living, but at least
it's more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Got to fill your cup up every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I moved away, went to the city and moved in with like 8 roommates and a cat named Ryan and tried so many different jobs.
You named the cat, didn't you?
I didn't name the cat. No.
So the cat was named Ryan. Yeah. It's coincidental. You're like, I need to be here.
It's fate. So yeah, that was my experience with a coffee shop. It was brief. It was about a year, just over a year of running it. But at the same time, I simultaneously got into films and then took off to Toronto. And really, that's where I really pursued film and theater. And yeah.
I'm tired.
That's too.
I know. I'm so sorry. I talked so much.
Wow. But good for you really pursuing all of that.
I got news for you to get up every single day. And I mean, I've done kind of some of the stuff you've done and
it's exhausting. It's a lot.
You carry this on. I have to carry something. I'm sorry.
But no, I've worked for nonprofits. I know what it takes to secure the funding, to use the funding wisely. And it just never ends. And that's why I kept asking you about, you know, what's your journey been like with this specific film festival? And, you know, obviously it's been successful. You've been doing it for 4 years and I'm out here to tell you guys that just because you're running a nonprofit doesn't mean that you're less than, because it's a hard job. So good for you. That's awesome that you've moved back from Toronto to Sault Ste. Marie, started this film festival and has made a sincere go of it. And I just think it's fascinating because I've never been to a film festival. Now I'm going to have to go to Milledgeville and check it out.
Yeah, do it. I think film festivals are such a great time. They're like summer camp for adults. You travel, you go somewhere you haven't seen before, and you ask before if you see the same people. I've seen some of the same people in LA that I saw when I went to Milan, Italy. So you really do start to see a couple of the same people at the different festivals. You go to networking parties, you see, like I saw San Francisco through a film festival in Austin, Texas, and Milan, Italy. So you see all these places you wouldn't normally necessarily end up in unless you have that motivation of, you know, you tell yourself, well, I should go and support the project and it got in, so I want to be there. So when you can make it work with your you know, financially or time wise, it's such a great, I think, way to just meet new people and have a fun time and watch different films that you wouldn't normally see on the, and I know right now in the States, there's all the protests against the big studios. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things about film festivals, or a lot of the things that I've worked on in Canada, are that they aren't big studio films. They're these independent small filmmakers. And when you hear about how they, I just saw one at Sioux Michigan Film Festival called Quicksand. Mm-hmm. It's out now on iTunes and Apple TV. And it's this great road trip comedy about these two best friends. The filmmaker was there. He's from Traverse City. And I had no idea there was a film community in Traverse City.
Yeah, who knew?
But it's such a great, like, the film, my fiance was with me and was like, this film definitely costs like a few million dollars. Like, mm-hmm. you should team up with this guy. He makes great films. Like, you should go talk to him. And when he said how much he had filmed it for, he felt like it was, yeah, it was, I don't know if they're, yeah, I don't know if I should share how they funded it, but it was significantly lower the budget than what we would have guessed. And it's amazing hearing these independent filmmakers' stories about how they made the film happen and how they brought it together. So I think film festivals are really great for that, for seeing all these projects that do surprise you and you think, wow, this is a really, they must have had so much money. And then you realize they didn't, and they just did all these amazing crafty things or built this network of people that came together with them to make it happen. So you're really celebrating the, like, not the big studios. You're celebrating the independent filmmakers.
Right, right. And I would also imagine that it's very energizing and validating to go to these film festivals as well, because you're like, that is such a cool idea. I want to try that, or I have thought of that and my idea has been validated and I didn't even realize that was going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. You definitely meet other people who have that same kind of mind frame as you, or maybe they have a thought that you were, yeah, maybe they do a project in a way that you've been wanting to do, but you were too scared to do. And then, sure. And then you get inspiration from them.
And to your point, I think there's something to be said about the independent filmmakers. There was a festival, it was New Year's every year in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, where we would go to the art museum and we could watch a compilation. It was about an hour and a half of all the best commercials from all over the world.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
It was so much fun.
You know what, Lynn? That's called the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl? Yeah. No, this was even better than that. And it was literally commercials compiled. It was the after work of an award ceremony that they compiled all these commercials, and we got to view that over the New Year's weekend. And it was mm-hmm. fantastic from a different point of view from the general commercials and commerce that you normally see on TV, and produced mm-hmm. by different types of directors and producers, and being very irreverent. It was awesome.
So they have Smogpock.
Smogpock.
They didn't have the Smogpock commercial.
We didn't have Smogpock. This was 2008, my dear. This was long before Smogpock. There was no smartphone
2008.
Then.
Wait, that's 15
years ago. It was during the real estate collapse. Yes. It was a weird time.
Were these, like, were a lot of the commercials that maybe are from other countries that we wouldn't
yes.
see, or like ones that didn't make it on air because they're too racy?
There are a lot of commercials from Europe, Great Britain, Ireland.
I feel like they always have really funny, R-rated commercials that we can't see here,
right.
But now we find on YouTube and you're like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, and they were very...
I wish we had commercials like this.
Like your show that you have to go back and edit because some of the scenes
are not appropriate
racy.
For, you know, public consumption. Yeah.
How many times does Kip actually, you know, Kim, who plays Kip, how many times does he actually just get wasted and can't find his way to the warden's office? Right. So anyway.
Yeah. Kim's character is always wasted, and acting drunk when you're not
sober.
Drunk is like a, it's that's hard. A really hard, yeah, that's a hard thing to pull off.
I could embrace Kim's that great. Acting job.
You could totally embrace this act after our bartender plied us with.
Except you don't actually drink on set. It's such a long day. You're insured. There's rules. But after, usually people go out for drinks especially if it's a weekend. But shout out to Kim, because Kim hooked us up and I found out about you from Kim. And Kim's the writer that keeps Pink Is In going. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Kim, because the things that come, like just the way Kim wrote each character so differently with their own unique voice, has been such a treat as an actor to just get to... Yeah, to make Top Dog come to life and to see how the other characters have evolved and come to life. So, yes, major shout out to Kim.
I know. He's funny as hell.
I love his brain.
I love his brain. He is good. So when you, and I know we just, people are like, what the hell just happened? That was such a fast transition that we went through. Did you audition for Pink Is In? It's like, I'm going to audition for anything, you know, and I get this as an actor. Sometimes it really is. You're just throwing like spaghetti on the wall to see what the hell's going to stick just for the job. Because you don't have the behind you, the gumption behind you, the wherewithal to be able to pass on a role. So sometimes you're like, and I'm not saying you're not a good actress. That's really a shitty way to segue into that. Let me start over again.
A couple of gimlets and a beer in you, maybe?
So when they started casting for this role, they reached out to you, Trish, and said, we have a fabulous role. Here's your contract. We're going to pay you whatever, and here's your rider. And you're like, of course, I need my own trailer, a masseuse. I need my own personal chef. I'll do your show. How did that work out, actually?
So the way it worked out is Lisa Crawford, the creator, had come to a red carpet event for My Roommates and Escort. In that show, I play a very non-confrontational roommate. Who talks like that. High-pitched voice, nervous laughter, afraid to face any issues, wears overalls from a small town. So... when Lisa and I kept in touch, and then we did Umbrella Academy. We were on the same day together. So we were in the opening pool scene, and it was freezing cold. It was February. It was snowy everywhere.
I
got to
go back and watch this episode.
And it's really fast. And so, but we were there for 17 hours. So there's this, the very first episode of season one of Umbrella Academy on Netflix, there's this like opening scene where one of the main characters or superheroes is born at a pool in Russia. So their mom jumps into this girl jumps into a pool and she has this baby. And I was there as someone sitting around on the deck, kneeling and looking at the baby and going like, oh, baby, cute. But that was just like a genuine reaction. Like there were twins there. So often child actors, they bring in twins and they were newborns. And I just was holding back tears, like wanting to cry.
Yes,
and then Lisa was there. And
sorry.
Lisa's the...
I'm going to interrupt for a second. Lynn's like, oh my gosh, really? And I'm like, yes. So my sister had twins.
Okay.
Boy and a girl, though.
No.
But when they were newborns, they were, because my brother-in-law was a writer and in the film industry, they cast them and they were in something Betty, I think.
Oh, Ugly Betty.
Ugly Betty. Oh, like they were the
starring America Ferrera.
So they she's got totally useless knowledge, too, pulling that shit up. I'm telling you what,
Trish. America Ferrera is amazing. She was in Barbie movie, and she had the best monologue of the film.
She did,
I haven't seen it yet.
You got to go say
We're going to go say
You have to go say Barbie movie.
Because you know what? The men are the enemy in this movie.
Yes, they are. And guess who's in it? Another Canadian, Ryan.
Oh, Gosling. Yes.
Gosling.
So if we're trying to set you up with Ryan, which one do you want?
Good God. We're corkscrewing everywhere.
Oh,
we're like going bananas.
Can I just have both Ryans? Can I just have Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds? And I feel like they would have really good banter with one another in the house. So it would just be a party all
the
time.
Now I need to add a new sound thing on here. I need a bow chicka wow wow sound for moments bow, like chicka, that. Wow, wow. So, but anyway, yeah, my niece and nephew were
on Ugly Betty.
I think an Ugly Betty. I think my sister will call me afterwards when she listened to the podcast and go, no, that's not the one that they were on. But
maybe they were in Umbrella Academy and it was them.
That's a good show. I like that.
Imagine it was them and it all came full circle.
It wasn't Umbrella Academy. That's too new. Because they're like 16.
And that was shot in Toronto.
Yeah. That's so cool. So you were doing this.
Lisa and I. Yeah, we were doing that together. Lisa was there as like the booth. She was there as they credited her as booth matron. So she was like in this red jumpsuit, like pacing around as that's happening and like running the little booth at the pool. And I was one of the swimmers and we just got talking all day. And she said, you know, I do have a lead, like a leading role. Like I have a big role for you in something. Just as soon as it gets picked up, like the role is yours. I have you like she's like, this role is yours. And I know you're capable of it. I've got it for you. It's waiting. It's going to happen. So I'm like, okay, because, you know, it's awesome when someone's in your corner because you don't always have people offering you roles. Yeah. But it's so hard to get a show picked up, too, that you think, isn't that awesome? Yes, I want to work with you because you're an amazing person and this sounds great and I want to support your project and this sounds awesome. So we go our separate ways. And then then I reached out to her and I was looking for work. It was a slow winter. And I said, what do you do besides acting? And she said, I work as a patient, like an actor in doctors, in medical schools for the doctors. So we act out these scenarios. So she gave me the info. I signed up for that. We worked together one or two days doing that. And then it fizzled out. I stopped doing it because they wanted me to do... During a snowstorm, they wanted me to pretend I had chlamydia, and it was just like, I just wasn't motivated to go. Like, the city was shut down, and I was like, I read the script, and I was like, you know, there's like a citywide, like a nationwide snowstorm, and I have to like go and talk about chlamydia all day. I'm like, I just don't think I'm going to do this job anymore.
I think you have a new skit right there. Like, if you... So I'm going to give you something because you are so talented, okay? And you have such phenomenal ideas that are firing at you. If you did like a mini series with all of your experiences that you've encountered throughout your life and you
made it... Oh, it would write itself.
Like it would write itself, especially this last one where it's like, they want me to come on to act as a... actor who has chlamydia, yet there's a snowstorm going on and they're still asking me to show up on set to conduct this role. That is a whole freaking episode. That's like a 30 minute short episode in itself. Like, do I do this?
Yeah, like
do
I do the buses are off the road. The buses are like in snowbanks, stuck there, not moving. Okay. So if I get this chlamydia roll, I'm literally going to have to walk through the snow for like 3 hours to get there.
We have a whole series right here. This could be a... No, wait. We're going to expand this. Forget the one little snippet of an episode. And that's the pilot, okay? But this is a series. This is a series about an actor who... only gets like they get pigeonholed as a STD whatever like totally terminal disease actor, and all the roles that they get, whether it's on a series or on commercials, this is the you know what I'm saying?
Let's just like, overlay all of this with like a wood chipper and a lot of snow and body parts being thrown through the wood chipper.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Think
about it. It's like this is the
snowy.
Yeah.
Down on
your luck. Yep.
This would be so good though. It's like, hey, what are you doing? Oh my God. Next week I got to go shoot this. Like I picked up a commercial and I've got to do like heavy flow. And you're like, what? And then the following couple of weeks, it's like, their version of Kramer rolls in. This is like a Seinfeld episode on the bad side. Then their version of Kramer goes, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I need to watch my apartment and water my plants and feed my cat because now I have to go do this thing because I got to do this thing about, you know, herpes.
Dark, it's like, Darren, whatever. It's really dark.
It would be so damn funny. At least I think it would be. Trisha's writing this shit down. She's like, this is gold.
Yeah,
this
is money. Somebody else is writing this down.
Anyway, yeah. I digress once again.
I stopped going to that job, so I didn't see Lisa there, but she kept in touch, and she emailed me in 2019 and said, take a look at this script. You would be playing top dog. This is the role I told you about. So I think, okay, it's probably going to be like another like girl next door, down to earth kind of character, which is fine. But after my roommate's an escort, I just kind of kept hearing like, oh, are you like your character? Are you really like, you seem a little bit more edgy than your, it was always like this, you play one thing and then that's what people expect you to always be. And then when she sent it and it was Top Dog, who's the top dog in the prison, I thought, this is, wow. She thinks like how did she get that from that? And how does she know? But I guess she had watched some things I'd done and she said, I know you're capable of this role and I think you'd be great. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. So I remember like racing over to the gym and being like, I'm going to get like my arms all big and buff and I'm going to be top dog.
Lose 15 pounds in 8 minutes or what?
Yeah, exactly. That was based on me. Yeah. So I did that. And we went out to her apartment building at the time where she was living in an apartment just outside Toronto. And we went there and we filmed in the basement, this teaser for Pink Is In. I think we shot about a 7-minute teaser and they might have cut it up into smaller teasers. So we shot the warden's office, the warden Dunworth, Ellie Ray was there and she did her scene damn in funny. An office and she's so incredible. And then, and I was telling you earlier, before we were recording, Ellie Ray, who plays the warden, is fantastic. And you've seen her over the years in movies with the Olsen twins, like It Takes Two as Fanny Butkus and in Goosebumps as Clarissa. And she voices many of the voices in My Little Pony. So Ellie is just this like seasoned actor with so much to bring to it. And she's just like, I can't imagine anyone else playing the warden. She just brings so much energy to the set. I love it. Acting with her back and forth in our scenes where it's the two of us, you get that real, there's that,
you
first
need
of all,
to be
nervous.
Nicer to her, okay? I'm just saying, your character is
Top
mean.
Top Dog is quite mean to her, yeah. But as an actor, I was like, how am I going to keep up? So I just, when we do those scenes, it's like, there's just this energy exchange that you get back and forth and you're really, you have to keep present because she is an absolute pro.
I will say,
it's so satisfying and so much fun.
You know what? But, that is very nice of you. That's a great compliment that you're paying to her. Like,
Ellie is just phenomenal.
So,
oh my gosh, Ellie is phenomenal. Anyone who's been in a room with Ellie just knows she is just a force.
She's a pro.
So, a pro plus just this amazing gift.
I will tell you what, I don't know Ellie, but I've seen the little bits from the show, but you're pretty damn good too.
Oh, thank you. So. It's a good time on set. I'm really grateful for the role and we've gotten to film over the last 3 Septembers, and this isn't a big studio show by any means, but it looks great.
What?
And the
Don't
actors
even say
are great.
You're filming in the same place the Hardy Boys was filmed in. You can't tell me that this is no schlub of a scene.
Yeah. Oh. It's an independent small company though that's running it and it looks, I think episode after episode it looks even it looks great to start, but then you can see the quality and everyone just kind of sink into the roles on and off camera. And it really does just kind of blossom as the episodes go on. But this year is the first year, the last 3 September. Oh yeah. So I filmed the teaser with Lisa. She pitched it and then it got picked up. So we had these last 3 years we filmed four episodes in 2020, in September of 2020, mm-hmm. four episodes in September of 2021, and maybe three. And then the next 2022 in the summer, we filmed a Christmas episode so that it would be ready for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, we went back 2 months later in September to film the final four episodes. And now I am just every day trying to promote it or tell people about it or handing out postcards when I go over to Sioux, Michigan in the Walmart, which is sorry if you were in the American Walmart in Sioux, Michigan and found a weird postcard, handwritten note from Top Dog, telling you it's now on Tubi in the US, because I really want to see this show come back for more episodes. Yeah. And yeah, I miss them. I really miss it.
It's all right. You're good. And you film other fun things too on your socials where you're like, I'm the idiosyncrasies between the US and Canada.
And they're so subtle.
She's yeah, but she does it in a fun way. It's like, oh, over in the US, we can have, they got this kind of Coke over here, you know? But over here in Canada, we got this instead. And then over there, they got these kind of potato chips, and over here we got these kind of potato chips. You know what I'm saying, eh? And she does these funny social things that are just a blast.
Check it out.
It's promoting herself.
I have been doing those. Yeah, they're on my YouTube. Temporarily deactivate my TikTok. It's still, they're still there, but they're just in like hidden mode. And because I started, so now we've talked about all these business ventures, and now I've started teaching. So
teaching
I'm trying
what?
To
hold on. Let's
yes.
Let's
I'm like processing
here.
teaching.
That's a broad.
So I started a job as an instructor at an adult learning center. So I'm teaching. I have a class of I teach cooking class. I teach English, and I teach. I'm one of the teachers for computers. So I either do some one-on-one with people who come in for some lessons on their computer, or their phone, or their tablet, or I like will co-teach a computer class some mornings. So I'm. But now, once you're teaching, you don't want students to find you on social media.
That's right.
We talked about wearing different masks, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to make my social media a bit more private for now, you don't want your students to have some video pop up of you. Like, follow me to Michigan. Look at this chocolate bar. It's called D's Nuts.
Oh, geez. Oh, my.
D's Nuts.
D's
Why
Nuts.
Not?
Yeah.
That's so.
No,
yeah, there is
I
a
don't
chocolate
blame
bar.
You. I don't blame you.
There's
I,
a chocolate bar in Sioux, Michigan called D's Nuts. Yeah.
Mm. I'd put that in my mouth.
I'd like to meet D.
That's her tagline. You want to put this in your mouth.
Is D a woman or a man? That's what we need to know.
Are you in the prison in pink is in? Or are you somewhere else?
True. Yes.
In the chocolate bar. Mm-hmm. Anyway, oh my goodness. That's so bad. We got to cut that shit out of the.
I know.
We got to edit.
Oh, whatever.
Trisha.
It's fine.
I have to tell you, this has been a whirlwind.
It has been.
Today. And a lot. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's not like, holy crap, what do I do from here? This has been phenomenal today.
Yeah, likewise. It really has been. Yeah.
I love making new friends. So you're friends for life now.
Hello, friend.
Well, hello, friend.
We're not done.
We're not?
No, we're not done.
Okay.
Because Trish is all over the place and she's finding her way.
Yeah, as
she's
we
like
all
a squirrel
are.
Finding her, you know, the right nut. And she's done multiple things, which are not, if any federal agency is listening, she does not launder money at all through the cafe or the construction business. Okay.
I would a much nicer house, and I'm not involved in the construction business, but I should be because I see how they're doing, and they were smart to get into construction. My sister also got into that, and she's doing really well.
My lawyer has been listening in the corner, and
and your accountant
had to say that that anyway. We have nothing about us.
My family's very strict about the books. My dad taught us well with QuickBooks and the different software. You clock everything, you put everything in, and it's a lot of stress running a business. My goodness. I just want to act. Can I just act?
Just play.
Yeah, go
play
for
all
it.
Day.
Yeah, let's do it. Want to play all day.
Yeah,
acting really is so much fun. I can see why a lot of people say, "Well, I always wanted to be an actor," because it really is.
It can
be. It is actually, out of all the jobs I've done, the ideal full time job. It is so fun.
But it's a grind, and you have to have a really thick skin because you deal with rejection every day.
Every day. And it's hard too when you think you almost got something and then it goes to someone else. Sure.
But you can always be an extra.
Yeah. You can.
There's a lot. If you read the actors magazine and stuff like that and show up, like, we are in a hotbed down here, Trish, for
You have Trill some Studios. Really great funding too.
We do.
Georgia gets really great funding.
Blowing up.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to, I'd love to be in a movie. You actually can be as an extra. Just look for it and you'll see where they're saying, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
Come here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Put this type of clothing on or whatever.
Show up.
And we need extras sitting around and you get paid scale rate for the day.
Right.
I got news for you. You might be on camera for about 10 seconds, but you're going to spend 12 to 14 hours waiting around for that 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But they'll pay you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll meet friends, you'll watch the actors, and you'll either think, oh, I can do that, and then sign up for a couple classes, and you can even do classes online now, or sign up for a local theater company, but you can definitely do like film and TV classes online over Zoom. So you'll either watch the actors when you're there as an extra and think, I can do that, I want to do that, or sometimes you get close to the camera and then they'll throw you a line or just give you a bigger direction that's on camera with the actors interacting, even if it's not spoken. And then you'll catch the bug, or you'll think, this is definitely not for me, but wow, that was a long day. Never doing that again.
Right,
so it's a really great thing to, really great thing to check out because it definitely puts it into perspective for you.
I'm going to promote your new next project that you're going to do that you didn't even think about.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Here it comes. So, if you're thinking about becoming an actress or an actor, guess what? Sign up for Trish's class at www.fuckeverybodyicanbecomeanactornow.
Wow.
Once again.
That's quite the web address.
I think we're probably going to need to cut that out of the podcast.
It's true.
I could teach. Maybe the teaching experience will eventually lead to me teaching acting classes as top dog.
I'll tell you.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go.
There you go.
One more time.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, as a teacher, you have a stage, right?
You
have a platform. You are the teacher. You are the performer.
I mean, there's
instructing.
Yeah.
I mean, HBO had the series for 4 seasons called Barry. Right. Mm-hmm. And Henry Winkler played the.
Yep. That's right.
This good show. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Really good show. Watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But it will go back once again. Sign up for the master's class with Trish as she teaches you how to act through anything, including not having to pay for that speeding ticket from the Canadian Mountie. You know, it's all about whatever you want.
And you act your way out of it.
Trish's masterclass. So sign up now for her actor's class. And if you don't see it coming to your social link, look on the back of the last page of the magazine. No, I'm kidding.
Bad.
That was a horrible James Litton.
Jeez, James Litton. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite swear word?
I gotta tell you what, Trish, we loved having you on the show. It is fabulous to have you as our 200th episode.
That's right.
Guest.
It is. Thank you.
And the one,
thank you.
The one thing that I asked you for that you have not bellied up to the bar with.
Dad jokes.
Yeah, skipping.
Yes.
Fire it away.
Rapid fire. Let's go.
So I'm going golfing for the very first time this weekend, actually with a construction company because I got invited through. I'm going with a family member that works in construction. So apparently they do this and I'm not a golfer. So I'm going to bring two pairs of socks with me. Guess why?
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 Because I might get a hole in one.
Oh. I like it. I like it.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Okay. What's
my
your
left
other
eye
one?
Is bleeding right now. Anyway. So, go ahead.
Okay.
Number two.
Okay. So a thing about me that I usually end up doing and didn't work into this conversation would be that I like to impersonate Britney Spears.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's a,
I'm divorcing you, Dad.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know? Oh, yeah, that something wasn't right here. Oh, yeah. And when I do that in the shower,
holy crap,
that is almost creepy.
I get soap in my mouth sometimes when I do it in the shower. So instead of becoming a Britney impersonation, it becomes a soap opera.
Okay.
That's like a down
that's
home
a good one.
Dad
yeah,
joke
that's
right
a
there.
Down home dad. All right, yes.
That one,
yes.
You get a lot of credit for. Holy crap.
That's a good one.
I got to tell you what, that's a good way to end this.
I think so.
Shall we?
Yes, I think so.
Lynn?
Yes, Darren.
This is our 200th episode.
I know. This is so fabulous.
I know, but over 200 episodes, and I was not on the first few.
Me neither.
But we went through a few
hills and valleys.
Variations.
Let's call it hills and valleys.
Well,
yeah.
We modified, we flexed, we changed things, and you got to pick up the ball and run with it.
Yeah.
And it happened. And every time we made a transition on this podcast, it seemed to make it better.
I think so too.
I could tell you that, including the type of beer and everything else we've done. And our sponsors.
The alcohol is very
thank
important.
Thank you, Hop City.
Yes.
You guys are the best sponsor we have had through 200 episodes of this podcast.
The best.
And I will tell you what, Lynn, I have enjoyed all of my co-hosts, but I feel most comfortable with you because you told me I had to put my pants back on. While we podcast.
You always have your pants on. Oh my God.
I know. Well, I showed up the first day when you were on the show and it's like, yeah, it's not going to work, dude. folks, I'm joking. All right.
You're anyway. Not her mother-in-law. Only the mother-in-law can walk around.
Exactly.
Naked.
The best. And I know you were nervous coming on as a ghost.
Yeah.
But we all had faith that you would make this show escalate to what it is.
Well, thank you. Okay. And it is the absolute, and I'm not kidding, highlight of my week. And everybody knows it, and they support me, and they support you, and they support the Beer and Business podcast. Beer and Business, did I say that right? Yeah. I've had too many gimlets. And if you like our show, please, people, we need to hear your voice. So please rate us or, you know, follow, send us an email, give us a message.
Anything.
And we really want you to be on our show too. Tyler Perry.
Mike Rowe. Guy Raz. Yeah. Sarah Blakely. Any of you guys.
Exactly.
Talk to us.
Anybody.
You should be on our podcast.
You should be.
Anyway, we don't, that is a shameless plug, Lynn, that you just run.
Can't help myself.
Ryan Reynolds,
we can talk about his gin.
This is a.
Yeah. He could be a sponsor.
He could. I'll tell you what, if Aviator Gin wants, you don't seem to realize this. We called, all right. Oh, God.
If Aviator Gin is our sponsor, I will be on the floor.
I have to tell you what, I wanted this to be a smooth, clean ending. And then you both had to just throw it in there. Yeah, well, yeah. So, Trish, if you're not aware, there were a while
Trish,
back.
If you.
Trish. If. Thank you for the gimlets, Megan. If you're not aware, a few episodes ago, I threw down the gauntlet because there's this thing about actors and people in the business who all claim to want to, you know, they're like, oh, I own this liquor company, or I own this tequila business or gin business or whatever it might be. And I told them all, I said, if you want to talk about this, let's talk about how many of you actually own and have your hands in the business versus just putting your name on the label to make it successful. You know how many people have reached out to me?
Yeah.
Zero. Because they don't have the fucking balls to step up.
I want to meet the guy who mashes the gin berries.
Yeah. You know what? I could see Ryan Reynolds mashing gin berries.
He would do it, but he hasn't reached out yet to say, I'll be on your podcast. I'll be on your podcast because of my gin.
And I think Blake Lively has a line of non-alcoholic.
Promote that right now.
I'm not interested in non-alcoholic. Nope. Talk to me when my doctor says, get off the alcohol.
But maybe they could mix them and they could come on together because they're a hot couple.
I like your pitch.
Let's put it this way. Here's a better pitch. Now that you've been on the show, Ryan's going to be like, oh, Trish has been on the show. Mm-hmm. I need to sponsor your podcast now.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to land with.
Okay? I truly think so, yeah.
I got news for you. I know this was a 5-minute riff that we just went on, but I am so happy that you have been the top dog, has been our 200th guest.
I know.
And you have not disappointed at all.
Thank you.
You've been amazing. And we
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
You're most welcome.
I appreciate coming on. I really appreciate it.
Great.
We can't wait to come up to your film festival. Please make sure.
Yeah, come on up here and come to set on Pink is In when we get back. You should ask for a role as podcasters on it.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
That'd be a riot.
That's brilliant.
You gotta get Kim to write you in.
You know what? We'll send you our, we'll have our attorney send you our writer.
Oh my.
Okay.
That way y'all can pay for it.
Only green jujubes on set and.
Yes, exactly.
And
you have to.
Hoppy beer.
You have to fly my dog up to Canada.
Your dog doesn't get to fly on set.
On a flying pig.
Mm-hmm. On a flying pig.
Not in a plane.
Now we bring Pink Floyd into this. Really? Holy cow. Trish, right. I got to tell you, once again, thank you so much for being on our show. We are truly honored to have somebody like you as our 200th guest. And we can wish you nothing but the best in your career. And we hope that, you know, the Beer and Biz podcast launched your career. You went from 1X to 100X.
And we know you win.
Yay!
Remember the little guys.
Yeah, remember us little guys down here in Georgia.
Likewise, and vice versa. Don't forget me. I'll find you.
You will.
Thanks, y'all. We appreciate you, everyone who listens to our show. We can't wait for you to listen to us next week.
And thank you to
It's going to be a little spicy.
Craft beer and wine.
Y'all have a great week. Drive safe. Good night.